The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I'm a very mentally engaged person, so I kind of got frustrated. I'm like, well, you're giving me rules, but there's nothing else attached to it. And I now say a lot of rules without relationship just breeds rebellion. And that's really what happened with me. And so by the time I was in my late teens, I pronounced myself as agnostic, atheistic. If you said there was a God, I had a case to tell you why there wasn't one.
This former atheist is now going into the streets to share the love of Jesus.
You know, I meet a lot of people that excite me. And by the way, I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome you to life today. And they excite me because I see genuine love. I see an excitement about life, real life, not an existence, life. And I met Raul Garcia. Raul was not a Christian. And he's going to tell you, he studied every religion in the world. Raul, we welcome you to life today. You got a whole lot of friends out here that help you help the poor, literally get them off the streets and feed people that are starving. And you're going to tell about how you saved a lot of people's lives recently because our viewers helped you be able to save their lives from freezing to death. Mm-hmm. Now, you started, though, in your teens, not believing, and then you started studying world religion, right? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the journey begins. A lot of it is cultivated through my upbringing. I was raised a cultural Catholic. I'm originally from Colombia, and so you kind of get that basic foundation of, you know, do's and don'ts and what you should and shouldn't do. And my mom introduced me to the Catholic Church, and my family did so. So I kind of walked through those footsteps of communion and confirmation and what all that means. I asked questions. They couldn't give me a lot of information. And I'm a very mentally engaged person, so I kind of got frustrated. I'm like, well, you're giving me rules, but there's nothing else attached to it. And I now say a lot of rules without relationship just breeds rebellion. And that's really what happened with me. And so as years compounded with each other, a lot of family trauma, a lot of things that the Lord has restored now with my dad and my mom, and praise be to God that they get to be here now, it actually led me to be very angry, frustrated, impatient with a world that testified for goodness and faithfulness to a God named Jesus. And so by the time I was in my late teens, I pronounced myself as agnostic, atheistic. If you said there was a God, I had a case to tell you why there wasn't one. And so I was more fascinated by most of the ones that were willing to die for it. So I looked at Muslims and I was like, well, they're at least willing to give their lives for it. The only thing I see in the church is inconsistency and hypocrisy. And so I looked at all these worldviews, and a lot of what I saw in Christianity did not interest me. And so through my trauma and anger and frustration, I was successful in the world's eyes at a really early age. I had a scholarship to eventually go to Wharton and to go to Wall Street and do business. And that was my passion. But it was really driven by getting away from my family. There was a lot of negativity and a lot of stuff there that I wanted to leave and flee from. And I thought money was going to be the thing to get me there. Well, what I didn't realize is I was going to land in Texas to start a company. And the Lord instead was going to pivot me to actually expand His kingdom and not my own. And so that was a journey. And the shortest I can put it is He started revealing Himself what I call experientially. Lee Strobel, I'm sure you've heard of him, for Case for Christ.
Been here.
Yep. His wife had an experiential journey, right? The Lord was revealing Himself to her through people and encounters and prayer and supernatural ways. And he was having his own, but he wanted to make a case for why she was losing her mind. What the Lord was really doing is renewing His mind, and He didn't even know it. Well, I kind of had a culmination of the two. About 4 or 5, I can't say I know the time frame, I was being really pruned and weeded and tenderized by the goodness of God, by people and customers when I was serving tables, and in the trauma of all the stuff that I had found myself in leading to Texas and the business not taking off like I thought it was going to. All of a sudden, now I'm in this place where I have nothing to give. My family's kind of plummeting with me in the process, and the Lord's trying to reveal Himself to me. So about 5 months in, all these encounters are in front of me. I'm interested in this girl that works at the restaurant. I ask her out, and she says, well, you can come to this thing with me. I don't know, it was a Gateway Young Adult Service. And I know you know a thing or two about Gateway, James. And I showed up, and she didn't show up. It was fascinating. I asked her later, and she actually said, I think you needed to get saved, and that's why I told you to go. I just didn't show up. What I didn't realize is that the message that night was going to be, how many more times do I need to reveal myself to you? Now, it's interesting because everybody would kind of be with this climax, just awaitance of, did you give your life to Christ that night? And that's not what happened. But what did happen is the biggest seed was planted, which is that message was told, and all of a sudden I found myself thinking, there's got to be something to all this stuff that has been going on in my life. The prayer, the checks that covered our rent, my mom getting a job with, I mean, it's just, the list goes on. And so I was like, you know what? Maybe there is a God, but I'm in Texas. It's like the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. Like, there's a church in every corner. Jesus is, of course, going to be the one you're going to be pitched on. But if I was in Iraq, I'd be probably addressing Allah right now. If it's another country, maybe I'd be addressing one of the Hindu gods. So Jesus, I'm just not sold on this, but maybe there is a God. So now I found myself thinking maybe there is something, but it's not Jesus yet. So that's when I started doing this study, and I started looking at what I thought the convicting religions, the people that were really walking it out. And so I looked at Islam and the Quran, which is the kind of the history and the commandments within Islam, and then the Sharia law, which is kind of the mosaic components of Christianity, right? The thou shalls, and then you got the Hadith, which is the traditions of Islam. And unfortunately, there's pillars within every religion. Well, the pillars within Islam were as built on a house of cards as anything else I've ever seen. And so as I kind of like just went through it, I found myself finding more of Jesus in the Islamic worldview, because there's actually a whole gospel of him in there, than I even realized. And so I kept avoiding Christianity as I was looking at every religion. But what I didn't realize is I was falling in love in the process. I didn't realize that I was fascinated with this guy. Maybe not God, but I know he walked this earth. I did come to that conclusion at some point. And when I finally looked at Christianity, I realized with the evidence that I was looking at, the resurrection, I tried to debunk that, it debunked me. He didn't walk this earth. Well, yeah, he did. There's more evidence for him than George Washington. Then I looked at every element of what I was looking, and I couldn't find anything but just a man that was pursuing me relentlessly and patiently waiting for me. And I found myself recognizing that as I was trying to debunk his design, I thought, you know what? All of it is true. You are who you say you are. But if I can debunk, maybe marriage is just outdated. There was a lot of trauma between my family. And if I could debunk some of these things, then maybe I can debunk me living the life I want to live, but you're still God. I'm just going to live my life. I realized that no-fault divorce, the law that allowed people to get divorced, like flipping a switch, everything, there was a crosshairs. Of the moment that the Christian church started to see divorce go this way was when all these laws the churches weren't standing up for. I realized my issue isn't with you and your design. My issue is with the body of Christ that's not standing up for what matters that's most. And I realized, it sounds like you need a soldier. And so I didn't know there was a whole thing on it, on 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy and Paul calling us to arm up and put our armor of God up. And then there's more. He calls us sons, but he gives us more elements of identity in regards to the war that's going to be at the other side of that decision you make after that confession of faith. And so I realized, wow, actually, I'm all in. Let's go. And so I looked for the deepest side of the pool, whatever that looked like. And at that time, it was Africa and prisons, and I was just about to turn 20, and so wherever they let me go and wherever that he let me in, I was all for it. I wasn't wondering if I'm going to die or not. I figured, you know what, I was basically dead already. I mean, technically, I am dead in his eyes, and he just resurrected me. And so saying yes to him wasn't that complicated. The beautiful was is the prophetic word that I had been given from the beginning of the journey was that if I kneeled and let the pride down like a domino effect, it was going to ripple forward. And the first one was going to be my family. And so I got the honor and the privilege to lead my parents to Christ. And it's been a journey.
Your business is going well. The name of it, it's in Walmart and Costco. Other places, what's the name of this business?
Best Bodies for Life. And so that all came from the Lord telling me one day, because that business was about to go bankrupt. I thought, well, you brought me here for this, meaning the ministry. You didn't bring me to business. I guess I'm good at it, but clearly not. And so maybe this is what you're called me. No, you are good at it, but if you give it to me, I can do something with it. And so all of a sudden, he gave me the name and the significance of the name. Best is wired to Christ giving his best. Bodies is because 1 Corinthians 6:19 says that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And for life is because every decision we make has an eternal implication attached to it. And so therefore, even in nutritional, what we eat, how we eat, et cetera, how we speak, has an eternal ripple. And so he's like, this is the name and this is why I've given it to you. But how you're going to expand my kingdom and not your own. I was actually in the middle of a brothel in Africa, which actually with someone that's here, and this little girl clung out to my hand, and I found out that these girls are very privy to trafficking and other things. And the Lord very quickly, because the story's long, just told me, this company is going to become a bridge for you to actually grab those kids and actually exemplify the ripple effect of my glory through it.
And that's what you do, and it's what we're doing right now with Rescue Life. It's what you've been doing.
Amen.
All right, you started going to the poor here.
Yeah, so that the genesis of it really starts at the ministry is called Deep Love Ministries.
Deep Love Ministries, and boy, is it ever.
Amen. And it actually started because a group of friends from Gateway and friends that I had in the church that had a heart to just go out into the cracks and crevices of the world, we started going to Deep Ellum, which is a part of Dallas. And so we started going to Deep Love, Deep Ellum. So that was the genesis
of it. Hard hit place for just a lot of sadness.
Exactly. However, in the crux of 2020, which I'm sure no matter whenever anybody watches this, they'll know that 2020 is a year everyone will always remember. The church in some capacities was shutting down or being told it needed to shut down. And a friend of mine who's part of Deep Love calls me and says, so what are you going to do? Because he knows how I'm wired. And I says, well, I ain't shutting down. I can't do prisons, though. I can't go Africa. So I'll probably just go to the streets. They can't kick me out of there. At least we still live in a constitutional republic, so I can still exercise that route. And so he tells me, well, what does that look like? And I says, well, I typically go with some bars and some protein and hand some bottles of water and share the gospel and just talk to people. I mean, it's really not complicated. People overcomplicate the gospel. If you just build a relationship with somebody, you can literally introduce them to Jesus without even using your words. And so that was the introduction to him. And he said, well, let's just go do it. So we grabbed my minivan. We called it the Evangie van. And we took out a table. We put some Bibles that Mark Job actually gave us from Gateway. And we grabbed some bottles of water, some protein bars, and we just started talking to people. What I didn't realize is that 12 months later, I was going to have a godsend of a gift, which is a girl named Ashley that just spearheads this whole thing, that was going to help me with clothing and shoes and belts. And we're basically going to take over our house and basically turn it into our warehouse, basically. And that in the outreach capacity, we're going to have chiropractors out there and we're going to have nurses that couldn't go overseas anymore. And so, well, I can't go to Africa and do medical missions, so why don't we go out there with you and do blood pressure checks and blood sugar tests? Because people don't realize the intricacies that people that are living on the streets, they have to maybe get to JPS or a hospital, but they don't have access. They can't walk 15 miles to then walk back to make it to shelter. So they just keep letting their body deprecate. And now we see them as these unclean, untouched, unwanted, unaddressed groups of people that God is actually the ones that he actually spent the most time with in Scripture.
You ended up in Tarrant County, Fort Worth area, and helping the hunger and the poor.
Yes.
You were doing so much, you came and asked us to help you have a bus so you could get people somewhere. All right, and then we got a couple of minutes. That's all we have. What happened with that bus when a serious freeze came?
Yes.
So serious that you actually had to peel people off wall, off sidewalk, frozen. What happened?
It was intense. So we shared the vision with you in regards to me thinking that we needed a bus because people in wheelchairs and such couldn't get from the shelter to just the church service that we partner with to get them every Sunday. And then now we've been doing this, but the Lord wakes me up in the middle of a freeze, February 3rd, I believe it was, and says, are you warm? How do you feel? And I'm like, well, what kind of question is that? My mom's complaining about the pipes maybe freezing. And all of a sudden he brings me this revelation of there are people that don't have those problems and they wish they could have those problems. Mm-hmm. And so the reality of the fact that people were out there became really real. I called up a buddy of mine who's actually here as well, John. And I said, hey, are you ready? And he's like, ready for what? And I said, well, that bus that we have. We're going to put it to good use because the city's shutting down, but the shelters are giving people bus passes. So it's really funny how people on the streets are looking to the body of Christ for help, and they're nowhere to be found. Mm. And so they're looking for government agencies to give them a bus pass, but the government agency that provides transportation shuts down the bus lines. So it's really funny. Yeah. And so I said, what a perfect time for the body of Christ to really move right now. And so we got the bus and we just started driving on what everybody thought was unwise territory. What we didn't realize we were gonna find people underneath dumpsters, people frozen against mattresses near gas stations, women that didn't wanna even come with us because they were frozen in their sleeping bags, but they only saw two men. What if we would've had women with us and they wouldn't have seen two men asking me to get in a bus? I'm okay. And so they stayed out there. Or the fact that there was hundreds of places we couldn't hit because our bus only fits 14, yet some of the ministries, I'm gonna leave names out, have 6, 7 buses and they were just collecting snow. Mm. And my heart just broke because everybody was applauding me. And I'm like, I don't need an applause. I need attendance. I need yeses. And that's really what deep love is. It's a group of people that have chosen to not just say yes once, but keep saying yes. And the kindness of God is what leads people to repentance.
With the bus at this ministry helped you get, and that night, how many people did you end up, because others did help you?
And
ultimately, fire department people helped you. How many people did you save
in that process? In 4-day period, we got over 350 people. The fire department stepped up one day, and they were able to rescue about 500. And then I believe we got some records of about 1,000 people for that week, in light of the people we work with to get emergency shelters going.
And many of them saved their lives.
They were saved.
Can you say to our audience watching that when they help life, share life, they're saving lives and pointing people to Jesus, and their love does not fail?
That's the depth. That's deep love. Deep love is us recognizing that there is people out there, not homeless people out there, and they're needing to see the kindness of God, because when they do, repentance comes. And the last time I checked, a group of people repenting is revival.
Let me just say this to you. If somebody wanted to find you, do you have an online site they can go to?
Yes, deeploveministries.org.
And they could join you in the Dallas 4 there and actually work with you.
We'll be there every third Sunday of every month. We've been there.
Helping the poor in a major outreach.
Absolutely.
All right, check him out. Send him some support. And I want to just say this to you. Betty, we're doing it. It is a beautiful story.
It really is. Just awesome.
Just thank you, God. And thank you. Boy, I can't thank you enough. See, you're just going to see all these traffic precious girls being used as slaves, and we're going to set them free. We can. A $128 gift will help us reach, rescue, and restore someone who's been trafficked. But look at all the ministries like this you're helping. This is so amazing. You are such amazing people. You are reaching out to the least of these and putting God's arms around them. Please listen to this testimony, listen to this reality and what love can do. And I'm asking you right now, with all your heart, support reaching and rescuing precious lives that are being trafficked and destroyed. We can give them life. We can give them freedom.
Sex trafficking of young women and children is one of the darkest and most depraved activities of humankind on the planet today. There are nearly 5 million victims who have been forced into prostitution, and a majority of those are women and children.
These are kids that have been forced to have sex with people, and they're being abused, and they're being photographed, and doing things that no child should ever have to do.
Don't tell them. Don't tell them.
Mission Rescue Life was born over a decade ago to do our part in helping shine the light of God's love into these dark and depraved areas. We are partnering with missionaries around the world who are rescuing those bound in slavery. Even former trafficking victims, like Bella, are helping those in need.
You know, sometimes I told them about my story. I said, before I used to do that too, and I know how to feel. I think if I'm without God, I'm nothing. So every day I always thank God for this life.
So when we look at these big numbers of statistics that are just demotivating, what we choose to do is we just choose to focus on the one. We work alongside law enforcement, and so we rescue one today. We rescue one tomorrow. We rescue one next week, because every single child matters to God. And so then they have to matter to us.
We have been doing this now for, you know, we're moving toward 20 years of outreach, and even in this area, it's just amazing, Betty, that we actually find missionaries and people with a broken heart who take us to these settings. I remember we went to the sex capital of the world, which we built one of the largest rescue centers on the planet there. By the way, when we built that Destiny House and that center, and when we, I'm talking about you, we used to be able to go in and show you all the children singing and all of them praising Jesus. We show their little faces and show how they're speaking English and they're learning a trade and they grow up. We can't show their faces anymore because of the internet. The sex traffickers, which you saw some of our group breaking in, working with the police to rescue them. It's really, we reach, we rescue, and we restore. And you support that. Well, Betty, we are still setting them free, whether we get to show their faces or not. But see, if they recognize them, then they would try to retake them if they were out in public or hurt them even later in their life. But you can't stop the love of God from setting them free. But who is it that makes that possible? For us to have those mission partners, for us to have those centers, those places of hope and help, and head those children off before someone deceives them and takes them away. Our friends have put up a $320,000 matching gift for this. They believe in it so much. That means it takes an average of $128 to get one. Now, if you give $128, we rescue two. You know how I always ask people to give the $1,280 and rescue 10? Now they'll rescue 20. Betty, what do you want our viewers to hear about the importance of how they respond to children like that when we just saw to rescue them? What do you want them to hear and feel in their heart?
Well, I hope your heart is as touched and broken as mine was as I was watching those precious, innocent little ones. They're being trapped, they're being traded, they're being beaten, they're being under control, James, where they have no choice. They lock them up in a room, and then they send these men in there to abuse them in so many, many ways, we wouldn't even want to put it on the air. But thank you. Thank you if you've contributed to helping these children come from darkness into light, to know that they have a future. So many of them think they'll die in these places if someone doesn't come and reach out to them. Let's continue to do that. There's so many, so many that God loves so much, but He wants to use us to make the difference in their lives. So please join with us.
And He is, in fact, using us, and it's the big us. Betty and I remain among the most faithful givers to life, and we have been ever since the ministry started 60 years ago. Why do we do that? Because that's unconditional love. It's redemptive love. Think about this. What you give today will be doubled. The average to rescue one, $128. You give that, we rescue two. 1,280 will rescue 10, thank God. Many of you do that. Now to rescue 20. We have some gifts to send you to bless you. And we always want to bless you because we love you as much as those we're trying to help. We want to build you up in the faith so that you express that faith and that unconditional love. Would you go get your bank card? Would you use it like a check, please, right now? Dial that number or go online and make the gift of life make the gift God puts on your heart. Please. Please do it now.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators, forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at risk for sex trafficking, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives and give them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you Believe This, Not That, featuring a promise from heaven for every need on earth. This book is a resource every believer should have when facing discouragement, pain, fear, or the vast array of negative thoughts that attack all believers. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive Experiencing Israel by Tony Evans. Discover the Holy Land like never before and view stunning scenes in spectacular full-color photography. Also, find practical applications that bring the world of the Bible into your life today. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help save 20 children, and you may receive our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You know, it's just amazing what love does. I pray with all my heart that you'll help us rescue these that have been trafficked. And know that continuously, just like when we see Jesus and Raul, and I've watched his journey, it is just a joy to be a part of, to be his friend. And people sitting over here, some of them's his family, that people have helped him, they go out there on the streets, and they're here right now praying for him. You make this possible. Betty and I, from the depth of our heart, say thank you. Your love, God's love through people like you, has helped us rescue lives and reach people for Jesus for more than 60 years of ministry. Thank you for the miracles you've made happen. Thank you so much.
I'll be your refuge, hide under my wing. Rest your head, and don't you worry, don't you worry, dear. Why don't you come to me? I'll be your
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media. Get access to exclusive content and news with the Life Today social media experience.
I think the body of Christ has to stop judging people because they sin differently than us.
Love outside the lines. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.